Good afternoon. I apologize for those who received the email late. There were some technical difficulties in getting it out, but the have opportunity this week to get ready for Parshas Chukas. It's going to be, Torah begins Parshas Chukas with a discussion of Zos Chukas HaTorah, what it seems to be the quintessential or the paradigm Chok, which a law without a specific reason. Obviously, it doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us for a random doing without there being a reason to it, but it means a reason that we can decipher. Shlomo HaMelech tries hard to decipher all of the ta'amim, and the way the Rambam describes it is that there are definitely ta'amim to a chok, and you can even understand some of the reasons behind the chok, but ultimately it's going to require the anivus and the submission in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we'll never be able to know all of the reasons or the complete or the entirety of the reasons of those chukas haTorah, of the chok of the chok of the Torah. So that's the paradume. What is the chok as it's described in Chazal? Is that it's the same thing which is metaher es hatameim, that makes the people who are tamei pure, tahor again, makes those who are pure, those who are the kohanim who are working with it, they become tamei. How can that coexist? So some point out that one thing that you do see again, and it's not, it doesn't get to the depth of trying to understand exactly what the chok is, but what you do see is that somehow the difference between tum and tara, you know, we view them as polar opposites, it may not be so different, and that the same things can sometimes bring one person to levels of tara, while simultaneously somebody else involved in the same thing can become tame. And that it's true in many areas of life as well, that different people engaged in different tasks, or depending on where they're holding, where they are at the time, the same thing could be appropriate for one person and inappropriate for somebody else. In the realm of halacha, so you don't find that as frequently. In the realm of halacha, it's a little bit more black and white. It's a little bit more clear cut. Something which is aser is aser. Something which is mutter is mutter. But even in the area of halacha, there will be times where b'shas hadchak or in a b'dievet situation, certain things are going to be permitted. So for one person, it's going to be mutter, and for somebody else, it's going to be aser. And there's no contradiction between that, because tum and tara can, in a certain sense, be subjective, and how a person reacts to it, or more precisely, I guess, is what effect it has on a person may depend on the person's situation. So even when a person asks a question, so there isn't one answer. You can't necessarily apply a psak that was given to one person to another situation. A Rav who understands what psak is about has to be able to, in a very broad sense, know all of the factors, zero in on all everything that's required in order to be able to give the proper answer in the specific situation. The most famous episode in the Torah, the great tragedy, is that of Mei Meriva, of the complaints of Bnei Yisrael for the water, and Moshe Rabbeinu erring, and Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Ya'anu hamantem bilachdisheinu l'nei Bnei Yisrael, and as a punishment for not being mekadesh Hashem Shemayim, for not glorifying the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu is punished by not being able to enter in to Eretz Yisrael. If you look at the Psukim, it seems a little bit strange the way the Torah describes the episode that took place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu Kaches Hamata, take the staff, Akeles Haida, and gather the people, Ata, you, Aaron, Achicha, Aaron, your brother, Vidibartim, Eloseli, and Ahem, and Asanem, and speak to the rock in front of them, and the rock will bring forth water. And everybody will have the have water. Vaikach Moshe Hamatem, Lifne Hashem, and Moshe takes the staff, Mother Hashem, Kaasher Sivo, as he was commanded. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu told to take the staff? Moshe gathers the people, he's told that he's going to have to speak to the rock. And it seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on a certain level, is enticing Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is he being told to take the staff if he's not going to be allowed to use it? And his downfall was the use of the very staff, which seems to be superfluous to what's going on. HaKadosh Baruch wants Moshe to speak to the rock instead of, and Moshe Rabbeinu hits the rock, but he hits the rock with the very same matzah that God told him to take. Why would Hashem say, take the matzah, kach es hamatah? And it doesn't seem to just be, you know, an afterthought. It says specifically that Hashem tells Moshe to take it. And then there's a whole pasuk, an entire pasuk test that's dedicated simply to telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu took the staff as God commanded. Moshe Rabbeinu took the staff as he was commanded. So why? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu, why was he told to take the staff if he's not allowed to use it? If you look carefully at the Pesukim, there seems to be an extra letter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, kach es hamata, take the, what's the ha, what's the hey hayidiyah, what is the staff? Take a staff, what staff is it referring to? Seems to be that it's referring to a specific one. That Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take that specific staff. Which one? Says the Chizkuni, Hashem told Moshe to take the staff of Aharon. Of Aharon. Which is the staff of Aharon? That's the staff, that's the matzah that at the end of last week's parsha miraculously blossomed with almonds in order to show that Aharon was the one that was chosen. What's the significance of the staff in general? And what relationship would it have to Moshe Rabbeinu's task of bringing forth water for the people? Why was it so essential to take the stick? So what happened in last week's parsha? Korach complained that Moshe Rabbeinu was guilty of nepotism. He appointed his brother Aaron as the Kohen Gadol. He took leadership for himself. He wasn't sensitive to ki kol hoido kulam kedoshim v'socham Hashem, that everybody's the same, everybody has kedusha, every person is special. You're no holier than anybody else in Klal Yisrael. And Moshe tells Korach and his followers to take the pans for the Ketores. Aharon does the same. And a fire comes down and consumes the 250 followers of Korach. And the remaining people, the leaders, were swallowed up by the earth. But yet that's not enough. Hashem still wants to demonstrate that Aharon is specifically has been the one that's chosen. Not just that it's not Korach, but that it's Aharon specifically. And so he commands, again, in last week's parasha, each shevet to put a matah, a staff, with their name inscribed on it in the Ohel Moed. And in the morning, the staff that had blossomed will indicate to all that the person inscribed is the one who's properly been chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it was the staff of Aaron that grew blossoms and almonds. This was the final step in reuniting Klal Yisrael. Hashem tells Moshe that his staff should serve as a perpetual reminder that Aaron is the Kohen, and never again should there be division like this in Klal Yisrael of a rebellion of this sort. The matah is supposed to symbolize the achdus, that unique unification that Klal Yisrael has to be a different metaphysical unit. The Sfas-Emes explains that the word matah is also used to refer to a shevet. Right, the mate Reuven. So it could be both a staff and a shevet. How so? It says that this mate is a reminder, always remember the lessons of the larger mate, our predecessors. The staff reminds us of the matos they really count, of the tribes. And that was Hashem's message to Moshe. Kach es hamate, take the staff that should remind you of the achdus of Klal Yisrael. It's not easy. Moshe Rabbeinu's task of having to face the constant complaints of Bnei Yisrael. But the matzah is that reminder, the job of the leader is to preserve the unity of Klal Yisrael. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's sin? The Rambam explains, and Rashi in some places seems to indicate this as well, that the root of his sin was getting upset at the people. Hitting the rock in anger, saying, Shimu no hamorim, listen you rebels. Very similar, reminiscent of the sign that was said in last week's parasha that the matah should serve the mishmeres la'os livnei meri. The staff of Aaron should serve as a reminder to the rebellious ones, b'nei meri. Moshe as leader had to retain his composure to do whatever was necessary to keep the cloud together. So the staff wasn't an attempt to tempt Moshe Rabbeinu. It was the exact opposite. It was supposed to help Moshe Rabbeinu, to remind him of his job as leader. It was supposed to be an encouraging sign. It was supposed to be a symbol for Moshe Rabbeinu to remember. And that's the beauty of the matzah. And ultimately, Moshe Rabbeinu makes a mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu is not perfect. He's the greatest of all of our Nevi'im. He's Adon Kol HaNevi'im. He's far beyond and in terms of Nevuah and Tzidkus. Nevuah, anybody else in Tzidkus, Kimat, anybody else. The Rambam says we strive to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. A Navi, we can't be a tzaddik. So he's still the paradigm, but he made a mistake. But it wasn't that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was setting him up for failure. Rather, it was a failure that happened because of Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. And that was the message of the matzah. Again, Tammuz is the time of we read this parsha, and we also have to remember that as Shavasar Tammuz approaches, it's a little while away, but Tammuz is the beginning of that summer period where we suffered, and the Achdus and reuniting Klal Yisrael and getting rid of the sin of Chinam is at the core of our tasks that we need to try to accomplish over the course of the weeks ahead. And just to conclude, the trivia question. In this week's parasha, the laws of the paradigm are introduced with Zos Kukas HaTorah. Which other laws in Sefer Bamidbar are introduced with that same phrase of Zos Kukas HaTorah? Wishing everybody a beautiful, warm, and inspiring Shabbos.